We are dealing with the issues of relatives. We learned yesterday the Mishnah discussed eight relatives on the first generation, and their sons-in-law, total of 24 relatives that are problematic, that can't serve as witnesses or judges. And then we saw there are actually also relatives who their sons and sons-in-law would be okay, but they themselves are not okay. That was a whole machlokes, whether that applied to brother-in-law, that is wife's sister's husband, or does that apply to stepson, wife's son from a different husband. Okay, we are now at the very bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Let's start at the bottom line. Amar Rav Bar Barchan, Amar Rav Yochanan. Rabbi Barchana said, Alach Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Alacha is like Rabbi Yossi Haglili, namely that if a person was a relative, but at the current time he's not a relative, he is kosher to serve as a witness or a judge. Let's say he was the son-in-law, but the daughter died, and then the event happened. So the former son-in-law is allowed to testify. B'nei Chamud Amar Ukva, the children of the father-in-law of Mar Ukva. In other words, the brothers of the wife of Mar Ukva. These are the children of the father-in-law of Mar Ukva. So they were krovim, they were relatives, but then they became less related because apparently Mar Ukva's wife died. So Asu Lekame Lidina, they came in front of Mar Ukva with a court case. They needed him to judge it. Amaluhu, he said to them, Silnu l'chul l'dina, I am disqualified to be your judge. Amrulay, they said to him, my daitach, what are you thinking? Krib Yehuda, namely that even if we are no longer related, since we once have been related, we still stay disqualified if there's a child from the relative, right? Let's say there was a child from the daughter who died, then we stayed disqualified. You know what? Ainan, my sin, Nigartri, my Rava, we are bringing a letter from the land of Israel. Tein Allah Krib Yehuda. Allah is not like Krib Yehuda. And since the relative, your wife, is no longer alive, you could be our judge. Samluhu, he said to them, listen, the reason why I don't want to be your judge is not because we're related. It's because I know you guys. You guys don't listen. So I don't want to judge people who don't listen. It's a waste. So he said to them, Amaluhu, Rukav said to them, do you think I'm attached to you with a bunch of wax, that I'm related to you? I know I'm not attached to you. I know I'm not related. My wife's dead, and halacha is that once we are no longer related, we can serve as witnesses and judges for each other. I know that. But are we attached to each other with wax? I didn't tell you I am disqualified to you to be a judge. It's because you don't listen to anything. You don't listen to rulings. So that's why I said I'm disqualified to you. Not because we're related. I know we're not related anymore. But I said I can't get involved with you guys because you guys are not going to listen. So that's why I stepped out. All right, we're on Chaf Tes Amud Aleph, towards the top of the Amud. The Mishnah said that a very close friend can't be a judge or witness, and it said an enemy can't be a judge or witness. It said, what's a very close friend? A best man at a wedding, a shushbina, as we saw, one of like the dear friends, that they have the whole deal. He's going to bring me a gift, I'm going to go to his wedding and bring him a gift. And an enemy, the Gemara said, is somebody that I didn't speak to him for 3 days because I'm upset with him, because of negativity. I have eva, I have resentment towards him. Then the Gemara quoted another opinion, Mishnah quotes another opinion, that says, no, people know, Jews know it's so important to be honest as witnesses. Jews would not allow themselves to be dishonest just because of some affection or animosity. That's not, a big enough power to drive dishonesty, because it's so important to be honest. Okay, so Oave, what's a dear friend? Zesh Shushbino, it's the best man at a wedding. Vakama, how long does he become disqualified? A guy was once at my wedding, I got married 20 years ago. So now he's can never be my witness. How long does this go on for? So he was the best man at a wedding. So for how long is he disqualified? Some Rabbi Rabbi Yom Yomarav, Kol Shabbosim HaMishta, the 7 days of Sheva Brachos. That's the whole wedding celebration. There's the wedding and then the 7 days of parties. So those 7 days, he's disqualified. However, Rabban Mishmei de Rav Amri, the Rabban said the name of Rav, no, just that first wedding. Afilum Yom Rishon Ve'elach, even after that first day, he's already kosher. It's just the day of the wedding. And after the wedding already, he doesn't feel so close to us. And then already he can serve as a witness or a judge.
Yeah, what is the qualifications of groomsmen in the time of the
Gemara? Where did they... Oh, we saw this a lot. We saw this in Baba Basra, we saw this in Ksubis. A group, there was a whole practice, you know, the groomsmen would come to the wedding and bring a gift. So they would, you know, enjoy and they'd bring a gift. And in return, when the other person got married, you know, when they got married, then the person they had brought a gift to had to come bring gifts to them and had to come at the wedding and make merry. You know, there's a whole celebration. All right, Asone, what's the definition of an enemy? An enemy, a hater. An enemy is also disqualified to be a witness. He didn't speak to him 3 days because of animosity. All right, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan Hodin Abraisa. It says in regards, what's the source for this? We're going to see. It says in regards to Arei Miklat, cities of refuge. The Torah says that a city of refuge is a situation where a man, by negligence, but mistaken negligence, ends up killing somebody else. There weren't witnesses, it wasn't deliberate. So he has to run to the city of refuge so that the relative of his victim doesn't come after him to kill him. And he stays in the city of refuge until the Kohen Gadol, who was alive at the time of the murder, dies. And then he goes out of the city of refuge. Now, the Pasuk there says many times, he didn't do this out of animosity. It was, you know, he was cutting down wood and the handle of his axe slipped off and fell down and killed the guy. The Pasuk says, "Vahu lo oyev lo," and he was not his enemy. So the Gemara says, that Pasuk's repeated many times, so therefore it must be some of it is not for the issue of city of refuge, it's for witnesses. And it's saying like this, Vahu lo oyev lo, if he's not his enemy, then yidenu, then he can serve as a witness to testify that the man needs to run to a city of refuge. Vlo mevakesh ra'aso, he's not seeking out his harm, then yidinenu, then he can be a judge. He can be a judge if he's not an enemy, if he's not seeking out harm. Ashka chamsone, all right, so that extra pasuk in regards to cities of refuge, Vuhulo Oyevlo and Vuhulo Sone Lo teaches us that an enemy can't serve as a witness or a judge. Oyev Minal, and how do we know that a lover, a dear friend, a best man, a groomsman, can't serve as a witness or a judge? So Kribe Hachi, read the Pasuk this way. The Pasuk says, Vuhulo Oyevlo, and he's not his enemy. Oyev sounds like Oyev also. Vuhulo Oyevlo. And he's not too close a friend to him. And then, Ye'idenu, then he can testify about him. V'lo mevakish ra'aso, and he's not seeking out his harm. V'lo tovaso, nor is he seeking out his welfare. And Ye'idenu, then he can be a judge. So what are you talking about? It doesn't say Ohev. It says Oyev. Midi Ohev Ksiv, does it say he's not an enemy, nor is he a friend? It says he's not an enemy. Elasvarahu. So the Gemara says, well, it's simple logic that a friend can't serve as a witness or as a judge. Oyev my time. Again, the Pasuk's not even referring to witnesses. The Pasuk's referring to a man who kills by mistake. But we're saying that the phrase Oyevlo is repeated a whole bunch of times there, so it's unnecessary. So one time it's to tell us also about witnesses. So what is the Torah teaching us when it says that that an enemy can't serve as a witness? Oyev my taima, what's the reason why an enemy can't serve as a witness? Mishum de merach gadaite, because they feel far from each other. They don't feel close to each other. All right, oyev nami, so therefore a friend should also not be a witness. Same logic. Makarve daite, they feel too close to each other. Now, v'rabbanan, who say that Jews know that it's so important to be honest as witnesses. We don't suspect a Jew that because of love or animosity that he would be dishonest as on the witness stand. What do they do with the pasuk? Hi lo oyev levulam avakish ra'aso my dar shibe. What do they do with the verse? With the extra words, and he was not his enemy, he's not seeking out his harm. So chad l'dain. So one, they'll say, refers to a judge. A judge who is an enemy. He can't serve as a judge. Idach, and the other phrase, k'detain is for the following b'raisa. Am Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, v'hulo oyev levul mavakish ra'aso, teaches you the following. Mikan l'shnei talmidei chachamim shesonim zetzeh. And if you have two Torah scholars that hate each other, Shein Yoshim Bedin Ke'echad, they can't be judges together. Let's say you have two Torah scholars that they hate each other. Whatever one says, the other one always disagrees with. So they can't serve on a court together, because the whole point of a court is to try to get to the truth. You're not going to be able to get to the truth if every time scholar A says something, scholar B has to say the opposite. He always disagrees, so then he's always putting himself up to disagree. He's always going to find an argument to disagree. So then they can't serve as judges. If they hate each other, they can't serve as judges. And the other phrase is to teach us that if one of the judges is an enemy of one of the litigants, he can't serve as a judge because being an enemy will corrupt his logic and his decision-making and his deciding who's right and who is guilty. But witnesses, because it's such an important mitzvah, it's part of the Ten Commandments, don't be a false witness, that we don't think that because of feelings, someone's not going to repeat the truth of what he saw and testify honestly about what he saw. All right, next Mishnah. Ketzad bodkin esa edim. How do we check out the witnesses to make sure they're saying the truth? So, ayu machnisin osam lecheder. They would bring them into a room, and then separately, one after the other. Uma'aymen aleihin. And they would intimidate them. So as the Gemara will explain, they would, you know, tell them, listen, if you say false testimony, God's coming after you. So they'd scare them that they should say the truth. Umotzien es kol adam l'chutz. They'd take everybody else out. Umashirin es hagadol shebehen. They'd leave the elder of the two witnesses. If Omer lo, they would tell him, and more, tell us, heyach atu yodea shezeh chayav lezeh. How do you know that this one owes money to this one? Im amar, if he guy says, who amar li? Shani chayav lo. He told me that I owe him money. Or if he says, ish ploni amar li. Well, I heard a rumor. Yaakov told me, shehu chayav lo. That, right, if he says, who amar li shani chayav lo, right, he told me that I owe him. Or he says that so-and-so told me that he owes me money. Lo amar klum, that's nothing. Ad sheyomar, oh, thank you, ad sheyomar, until he says, bifaneinu hoda lo shu chayav lo masayim zuz. Until the witness says, in our presence. So the Gemara is going to say that that means that there has to actually be an appointment of the witnesses. The person who's making the admission has to say, Atem Edai, you are my witnesses. And then he says, Atem Edai, ani chayav l'Ruvain, I owe money to Ruvain. But if he just, you know, he told us that he owes money to Ruvain, he just happened to mention it, he didn't make the appointment, then maybe he was just saying things. People say things, but they don't really mean to admit. We can't. You know, hearsay is not necessarily the truth. People say all sorts of things, as the Gemara says many times. People claim that they owe money because they don't want to say they have money because they don't want to have the ayin hara, the bad luck of being rich. So they say they don't have, but really they do have. People hide their money. Then, so after the first one says that, bifaneinu, in our presence, hoda lo, Reuven admitted to Shimon, shuchayev lo masayim zuz, that he owes Shimon 200 zuz, then they bring in the second witness, who both can also, and we check him. If their words are found to be, in resonance, in sympathy, you know, they're both saying the same message, then nosim nosim medaber. We go back and forth, and maybe we will rule based on it. Now, what happens if in the court shnayim omrim zakai? Two judges say we think he doesn't have to pay. One says he does have to pay. Then zakai. Then we follow the majority, and he doesn't have to pay. Shnayim omrim chayev. Let's say two judges say he's guilty. V'echad omer zakai. And one judge says, no, he's innocent. Chayev, he is guilty, he has to pay. Echad omer chayev. One judge says he is guilty. V'echad omer zakai. One says he is innocent. Or, afilu shnayim zakai. It could be both of the judges are saying that he is innocent from paying. O shnayim chayev. Or both of the judges are saying he has to pay. If the third, though, doesn't have a vote, echad omer eni yodea. One says, I don't know. The third says he doesn't know. So you might say, well, who cares that he doesn't know? Even if he'd be against us, the two of us agree, and two against one wins. No, you have to have three opinions. You can't have two and a question mark. A question mark's not an opinion. So, Yosifu Adayanim, we need to add judges. Let's add another two judges. We'll keep discussing. And let's get to a real vote. Kamura Sadavar, once they finish the discussion, Hayumachnisin Osan. Then they bring in the litigants. Hagadol Shabbatayanim Omer, the elder of the judges declares, Ishploni so and so ata zakai, you don't have to pay, or Ishploni so and so ata chayv, you're guilty. Now, Uminai, now how do we know the Kishi Yetzi that once the litigants go out, Lo Yomar, the judges, the jurors are now allowed to say how they voted. The judge can't say, Anima zakai, listen, I was on your side. I wanted to make you innocent. The Chaveir and Mechayvim, what could I do? I was outvoted. The other rabbis, they voted to convict. No. Nope. What can I do? My friends were more than me. Rabu Alai. You can't do that. How do you know not? That's what the Pasuk says. Lo Selech Rachel Ba'amecha. Don't walk around being a bearer of tales, telling other people about what they did, what others did to them to make them upset at those people. And the Pasuk says, the definition of a Rachel is someone who reveals confidential deliberations. Holeich Rachil, who's the guy walking around as a talebearer? Megalesod, the one who reveals the secrets.
Just as a side note, so this is totally contradictory to our Supreme Court. We have the majority opinion and the minority opinion.
That's right. Right, and you know who says what. That's right, very different.
Amen.
So the Gemara now asks, Hey Chiaminaluhu, how do we scare people? What's intimidating to get the witnesses scared in the right frame of mind that they better say the truth? I'm Rabbi Yehuda said like this. Okay, I'm going to tell them like this. Nesiim v'ruach v'geshem ayin. Sometimes there's no cloud, there's no wind, there's no rain. You know why? Ish mishalol b'mata sheker. Because there's a man walking around praising himself with all sorts of falsehood. That he speaks false testimony. You're going to cause a famine if you guys speak false testimony. So Rava said, no one ever cares when everybody else suffers. Yeah. They only care if they suffer. So Yachli Lameimar, the witnesses are going to say, hey, Shev Shani Avakafna. Sometimes you can have a famine for 7 years. And it doesn't come to the doorway of the guy who's the carpenter. He says, you know what, I've got my customers. I'm going to be okay. So everybody else will suffer. What do I care? So that's not intimidating. Rava said, you know what we tell them? We tell the witnesses, we tell them, Mapats v'cherev v'chet shanun, plagues, death, swords, sharp arrows, ish ona b'rei oed shakar. That's all coming on a man who testifies against his friend false testimony. So that's scary already. If you speak falsely, you're going to die by plague. Rav Ashi said, even that's not so scary. Yachlu Lameimar, the witnesses might say, listen, Shev Shani Hava Musna, sometimes you have a plague, 7 years, people are dying. Vinish below Shani Lo Shachiv. And yet others are not dying. A man doesn't die when it's not his time, you know. Maybe it's not going to be me. Rav Ashi said, Amar Li, Natan Bar Marzutra explained it to me. Aminaluhu, we tell them like this. Sahadi Shakri. Hey, if you're a false witness, Agurayu Zili, the guys who hired you think you're a bunch of nobodies. They call you snitches. They think you're worthless. They think you're vermin. They don't respect you. The verse says about the story of Achav. Achav was the wicked king of the northern kingdom, and he had a wicked wife, Izebel. And there was a man, Navos, who had a vineyard, and Achav wanted the vineyard. So Izebel said to Achav, okay, go get it. So Achav offered money. Nabal said, I don't want to sell the vineyard. This is the inheritance that I have in my family from the days of Joshua. I'm not giving away my vineyard. So what did Izebel do? She framed him. She framed Nabal. They killed Nabal and they stole the vineyard. So what did she say? She said, Vahoshivu, Shnei Anashim Bnei Bli'al Negdo. And let us seat two corrupt lowlives against Navos, via Iduhu Lemor, and they will testify against Navos, saying, Beirach Elohim Umelech, you cursed God and you cursed the king. And that's what they did. Now she's talking about the people who are doing her dirty work. What does she call them? Bnei Bli'al. So you see that even the guys who hire you think you're nobody for listening to them. So right away you're suffering when you go ahead with the false testimony. So by scaring them in that way, they will, in fact, not give false testimony. Okay, then we said, as I mentioned, that in order to have a real testimony, the leader can't just say that, okay, we heard him admit. It has to be more than that. And in our presence, he admitted that he owes the other one 200 zuz. This is a proof to the lesson of Rav Yehuda. For an admission to be an admission, he has to say, Atem Eidai, you are my witnesses, and then admit. So by appointing them as witnesses, then an admission in front of them is meaningful. But if he didn't appoint them as witnesses, he just said it and they overheard him, that doesn't mean anything.
It's very interesting because it's very different. It's a criminal case, obviously. No one's appointing anyone.
Well, criminal case, you get warning.
You have the warning.
Itmar Nami, we also learned, Amar Rav Chiya bar Abba and Rav Yochanan. Rav Chiya bar Abba said, in the name of Rav Yochanan, a man who says to his friend, Mana li biyadcha, there's 100 coins of mine that you owe me, Amar Lohain, he says, yeah, I do. Lamachar, the next day, Amar Lohain, he says to him, Tnei, give it to me. Amar Meshatini b'chai, he said, yeah, I was just playing around with you. Patri doesn't have to pay. Doesn't have to pay. He only has to pay. It's only an admission if he says, you are my witnesses. And I'm admitting that I owe him the money. Tanya Namiyachi also looked at a price like this. You owe me 100. I'm a Lohain. He said, yeah, I do. The next day he tells him, Tnei, give me the 100 you admitted that you owe to me. He says, Meshata Anibach, I was just playing around with you. But he doesn't have to pay. And not only that, El Afilu Hichmin Lo Edim Achore Gader. Let's say the lender knows he's dealing with a tough guy, so he hides witnesses behind the fence. V'amarlo, and then he goes to the borrower and he says, Manali biyatcha, you owe me 100, right? Amarlo, hey, he said, yeah, I owe you 100. Ritzon chashetotu b'fnei ploni uploni, are you willing to admit it in front of, you know, Reuven and Shimon? Amarlo, he says, no, you know, misyari ani, I'm worried. Shema techfeini ledin lamachar, shema techfeini ledin, maybe they're going to bring me up to court. The next day he says, Tnei, hey, you gotta bring me, you gotta give it to me. You admitted. I'm lo mashakni b'chai. He said, I was just playing around with you. Pater, he would be exempt. He would have to pay. Because he didn't appoint the witnesses. Vein ton in lamesis. Now we don't make claims to get an insider off the hook. We know that an insider is someone who convinces people to worship idols, convinces people to reject God. So we don't try to defend him, even though normally we always try to defend the litigant, the people who try to save their lives. A mesis, an insider not. Think about it, one second. Mesis, mandakar shmei. What are you talking about, a guy who's inciting people to worship idols here? We're talking about witnesses and admitting. What's going on? All right, chisur amichsra. There are words missing from this price. Achi katan is the way to read it. Im lo ta'an. However, if the litigant doesn't claim I was just fooling around, he doesn't claim anything. He says, oh, okay, I admitted yesterday, okay. Then, ain't Tony Lowe, we don't make a claim for him, and he does have to pay. However, v'dinei nefashos, but if it's not a question of money, it's a question of life and death, alfa gavdalo ton Tony Lowe. Even when he doesn't make a claim for his defense, we make all the claims for his defense, because we want to save his life. That's normally with life and death. Ain't Tony Lemesis, but we don't make any claims to save an insider from death. Maishna Mesis, why don't we make any claims to save an insider? I'm Reb Chanina, Yipirkad Reb Chiya Barabba Shmieli. I heard this from the lesson, the public drasha, that Reb Chiya Barabba taught. Shani Mesis, an insider, is different. Rachman Amar Hashem said about him, Lo Sachmo, don't have compassion. For Lo Sachase Alav, and don't cover up for him. Amar Shmuel Bar Nachman, Amar Yonah Nassan, Minayin Shem Tonel Mesis. What's an example in the Torah that we refuse to advance arguments to benefit an insider? Well, the very first case of sin, Nachash HaKadmoni, the original snake, the serpent, who got Adam and Chava to eat from the tree of knowledge. So basically, that was to deny God. So that was Mesis, that was Avodah Zarah. The Amar Rav Simulai said, the serpent could have made lots of claims. He didn't. And we play Malotan Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Why didn't God make claims for him? Lefish Lotan Hu, because he didn't make them. My Havalei Lomimer, what could he have said? He could have said like this, I'm getting punished. I just said some words. Divrei Rabbah, Divrei HaTalmid. You have the words from God who said, don't eat from the tree. You have the words from me, the student, who says, eat from the tree. Divrei Mishomim, who should they be listening to? Divrei Rav Shomim, they should have listened to the teacher. What are they listening to the student? It's not my fault. Amar Chizkiah said, Minayin Shekolam Osef Korea. How do we know that anyone who adds, who says too much, ends up causing a problem? Shenemar, go back to the story of the first sin. Shenemar, God said, Amar Elohim Lo Soch Mimenu. God said, don't eat from it. But what did Chava say? Chava said, God said, don't eat and don't touch. She said that God said, don't eat nor touch. And then the serpent pushes her against the tree. So you don't die from touching. And then she ended up eating. So you see that by adding, you end up taking away. Rav Meshar Shamar Mehach, it's from the Pasuk. It's from the Hebrew language. The word Masayim is 200. But Amasayim, if you add the Aleph in front of the word Masayim, you add the word Aleph, you add the letter Aleph in front of Masayim, it becomes 2. So from 200 it becomes 2, because you added another letter. Amasayim v'chetzi arko. Rav Ashi Amar, it's on the word Ashte. Ashte, the word Shtei. Shtei Esrei is 12. But Ashte Esrei, if you add another I into Shtei Esrei, it becomes 11. So Ashte Esrei Yurios, the 11 curtains. So you see, by adding another letter, you actually subtracted. Amar Abaye, again, Abaye goes back to the subject of admitting. Lo shanu elodamar mishatani b'cha. When do we say that when a guy admitted, we still can't collect on it? Is if he didn't, when he didn't appoint witnesses, is when he later claimed, I was just fooling around. Aval Amar, but if he says, lo hayudvar me'olam, if he says, I never admitted, yeah, 1 second, but he did admit, and we have witnesses behind the gate that he admitted. So Huchza Kafram, once he's been proven to be dishonest, because he's making now a false claim, we don't listen to him and we would make him pay. Okay. Amalei Rav Papa, Bered Rav Acha Bar Ada. Rav Papa said to him, Rav Papa, the son of Rav Acha Bar Ada, said to him, Achi Aminu Mishmei de Rava. Nope. In the name of Rava, we say, even if he first admitted without appointing witnesses, and then when he was confronted, he said it never happened. And then we say, but here we have witnesses behind the gate. It did happen. We won't make him pay because people don't remember things that are inconsequential. He thought, he doesn't remember that he admitted. It's not that he's lying. He doesn't remember that he admitted. Why wouldn't he remember? Because he didn't appoint witnesses. Since he didn't appoint witnesses, it's not a real substantive admission. So people never remember, you know, sentences that they just say. He didn't remember. All right, a story. Ha-hu, there was a guy, he hid witnesses against his friend in the curtains around his bed. Amar Leh, so he then said to the friend, you owe me 100. Amar Leh, so the friend said, hey, yeah, I do. Amar Leh, so he said, don't you agree that the awake and the sleep are able to testify about you? Amar Leh said, I don't agree to anything. Rav Kahana said, Hamalei lo. So he never appointed witnesses. The admission is not an admission. There was a man who hid witnesses in graves, in a graveyard, about his friend. Hamalei, that he took his friend into the graveyard, he said to him, you owe me 100, right? Hamalei, the friend said, yeah, Hain, I do. He said, okay, let the living and the dead be the witnesses, and you are admitting, right, in front of the living and the dead. Hamalei lo. He said, I'm not admitting in front of anyone. No, I'm telling you. Amar Reb Shimon, it's not an admission. Amar Leilo, he said he's not accepting any witnesses, so it wasn't an admission. Amar Ravina said, V'item Rav Papa. Some people say Rav Papa said it. Shema min ha-meha, we see from these two stories about the guy who hid witnesses in the bed and in the graveyard, that Ha, Dam Rav Yudah Merav. This Rav Yudah Merav said, Tzarech sheyomar atem edai. A person who's making an admission has to first appoint the witnesses and say, you are my witnesses. Loshna ki amar lova. It doesn't make a difference if it's the borrower who says, you are my witnesses, from the fact that I'm about to admit. Loshna ki amar malva v'shasek lova. Or if the lender says, these are the witnesses, and the borrower is quiet, either way, yes, that would be a strong admission. Because time of Damar lo velo, these stories, we said the reason why the borrower is not held to account for his admissions, because he said, I'm not accepting them as witnesses. Avali avashasik, but apparently if he would have been quiet, hachanami, then his admission is a strong admission. Ahuda Vukarale, there was this guy that people used to call him Kav Rashu. He's a man who's got a whole stack of documents on him. In other words, he owes money to lots of people. Amar, so he said, Man Masikbi Eloploni Uploni. No, it's not true. I only owe money to Reuven and Shimon. So Asu Tavuladina Kamedi Rav Nachman. So Reuven and Shimon came and said, hey, he says to everybody, don't call me the guy who owes money to everyone, just call me the guy who owes money to Reuven and Shimon. So he's admitting he owes money to us, Reuven and Shimon, so let him pay us. They came in front of Rav Nachman. I'm Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said, sorry. Nope, he doesn't have to pay you guys. People sometimes say all sorts of things so as not to make themselves appear wealthy. And he says he owes money to you, Reuven and Shimon. But he didn't say in front of two witnesses, I'm admitting to Reuven and Shimon that I owe them the money. And therefore he doesn't owe you the money. Similar story. There was a man that they used to call him the mouse that lays on the gold coins. Because they said he was very rich and a very big miser. So when he was dying, Amar said, Planya, Maskabi Zuzi. Reuven and Shimon owe me money. I owe them money. They lent me money. Then he died. Asus, Reuven and Shimon came. They said, okay, your father admitted that he owes us money. So they went to a court case to Rabbi Shmuel Reb Yossi. Amaluhus, Rabbi Shmuel Reb Yossi said, Ki amin adam asu shlo lasbias atzmo. Maybe a person, you know, is not going to admit that he's rich. He's going to say things to make it appear that he's not so wealthy. Okay, that's when he's alive, because he doesn't want ayin hara, he doesn't want a bad fortune, because he appears to be wealthy. Aval acharmisa, once he died, he's not even benefiting by saying that he is not rich. So he's saying the truth. Therefore, he is believed, and he really meant it that he owes the money. Well, the orphans didn't want to accept the ruling, so they only paid half, and v'lo paru palga, they didn't pay the other half. So now, tavinu ladina li'idach palga. So these lenders, Reuven and Shimon, went to a court case for the other half. Aslakai b'd Rebchia, this time they came in front of Rebchia. Amaluhu, Rebchia disagreed. He said, k'shem shaltam asri shlo las b'yas atzmo. The same way a person's going to say, I owe money just because he doesn't want to appear wealthy. A person might say that he owes money and then die because he doesn't want his kids to appear wealthy. But really, he doesn't owe the money. Amrulei, so the lenders, Reuven and Shimon, said, okay, Nezel and Edit, do we have to now give back the first half? Amalem, he said, no. Farhora Zakin. The first half you got through a psak of a court, through Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, you don't have to give that back. But the second half, I'm saying you don't get. All right. Hoda bifnei shnayim. Let's say a man admits in front of two people that he owes money. He admits that he owes money to Reuven. V'kanu miyado. And they did an act of acquisition, a kinyan sudr. Then kosvin. Then the witness is right in our presence. So-and-so admitted that he owes money to so-and-so. Now, even though he didn't tell them to write the document, once he does the act of acquisition, we are sure that there's permission to write a document. V'imla, but if there was no act of acquisition, in kosvin, then we don't have a right to write the document down, because maybe he admits, it's true, he's guilty, but he doesn't want there to be a record of it. Bifnei shlosha, but if he admits in front of three, v'lo kanu miyado, even if they don't do an act of acquisition. So Rav, Amar Kosvin, Rav says, you write it down, because in front of three is admitting to a court, Rav Asi Amar in Kosvin. Rav Asi said, no, maybe again, he just wants to admit, but he doesn't want to have a written record. Hava Uvda, there was such a story where a man admitted in front of three people and they didn't do an act of acquisition. V'chashle Rav l'adu Rav Asi, and Rav was careful for the view of Rav Asi, and he didn't write it down. Amar Rav Adar Bar Ahava said, Ha'odisa, when we have a document saying that Reuven admits that he owes money to Shimon, Zimnin Kasvinan, Zimnin Lo Kasvinan. Sometimes we write it, sometimes we don't write it. So Rav Adar Bar Ahava explained, K'nivi v'yasvi, if the judges were there, the three of them were there, and he admits in front of them, Lo Kasvinan. So then maybe we can't write it, because he happened to have three. He wanted to admit in front of two. There were three there, so he admitted in front of three. But Kanfinu Iyu, but if he goes around to get all three, and then he admits to them, so then Kasvinan, then he's making them a court. Once he's making them a court, we know we can write down what he admitted to. Rava said, Afilu Kanfinu Iyu, even if he gathers all three, Lo Kasvinan, we can't write down when he just admits that he owes money in front of the three, Adamalu, until he says, Havu Alai Dayani, be upon me as judges. Once he says, be judges, at that point he is saying that they are a court. However, even if he says, be my judges, it's not enough to write it down. Until they set up a place to sit as a court, and they summon them to a hearing, then already they're acting like a court, then you know you can write it down. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zachus Es Yisrael. If you hear B'lem Torah Mitzvah Shenemar, Adonai Chafetz L'Man Tzidko, Yagdil Terav Yadir. I'm going to ask you, Mary, I said, you know, I'm trying to make a call, sorry about it, sorry.